Okay, how many of you went to see the movie Noah? Okay, a few of you. It's a it's entertainment. They take some real liberties with Scripture in doing it. It's kind of like going to a banquet when you stand there. They're introducing the next speaker, and he says, all talks are based on Scripture. And I'm sitting in the back of the room, and I'm always going in my, yeah. And some of them are more loosely based than others. Well, this is loosely based on Scripture. You can recognize the story, but there are some things in there that they take some liberties with. But, you know, there's only three chapters in the Bible on this, chapters 6 through 8. So, I mean, it's entertaining. I especially like the stone giants that they had in the thing. That was unique. But anyway, it's been helpful because in this series on life and death issues, basically one of the things that we ought to be paying attention to is the signs of the times. And doing a little bit of that on Amos Wednesday nights. But this morning, I'm just going to use the story of Noah and what Jesus had to say about it. So maybe we should pray for the message. You've already seen the movie clip, so that was left out. Oh, Lord, we ask that you would be present here today so that the preaching and the listening to this sermon will begin and end at the same time. The text for the message is Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 to 44, and I'd like for you and I to read it together. Here we go. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. As were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they did not know until the flood came and swept them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field. One is taken and one is left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One is taken and one is left. Watch therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the householder had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have watched and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Now the key to the words here that Jesus is talking, when he's talking of the phrase, as in the days of Noah. Say those words with me, will you? As in the days of Noah. It's kind of good to put that movie out there at this time because it helps give me a thing. With those words, Jesus points out a couple of things. The times of Noah. And the task of Noah that he lived on in his own life. Now, Jesus says about the times of Noah, as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. If you look at verse 38, it says, for in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they did not know until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Jesus said there would be days of revelry, feasting, carousing, casual attitudes towards relationships, and suddenly they were destroyed. And he interjects in here also, two in the field, one taken, one left. Two at the mill, one taken, one left. So Jesus cites men and women, and that covers people of both sexes and people in both states of readiness, ready and unready. Then he says in verse 42, watch therefore. In verse 36, he says, you don't know the day or the hour. And in verse 42, he says, watch. And then he tells us how to watch. In verse 43, he says, but know this. Say those words with me. But know this. Okay, Jesus says that if the householder had known in what part of the night the thief was going to show up, he would have watched and not let his house be broken into. You may not know the hour of the day, but you can know this. Watch. You can know to watch and be sensitive so that your house isn't broken into. This is a direct reference to the times of Noah and the task of Noah, who prepared for the salvation of his house. I have printed in here Hebrews 11:7, which cites Noah's faith. Let's read it together. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, took heed and constructed an ark for the saving of his household. Noah built an ark. Now, an ark is not just a boat. It's something that affords protection and safety from the storms, turmoil, and the judgment of God. These messages that I've been putting together here kind of go in different directions on life and death issues, but they all aim at things that have to do with our lives and things that can get us killed, so to speak, in this world. They're about the sin that we all have, and they are also about the way we can destroy ourselves. But in this case, we must look at the times that we live in as well, as in the days of Noah, before we get to the task of how do you do this? How do you live this life? Now, the story of Noah and the flood is just in chapters 6 to 8 of Genesis. It tells of the times and the task of Noah. And as we look at the words of Jesus, we need to understand the implications of his references to Noah's fulfilling his task. Noah prepared an ark for his household. Now, a household relates to your personal family. It relates to your kids, your spouse. But it may also relate to your business or your community. It might relate to your church or your kingdom. Now, when I speak of a household like that, it means we all have kingdoms, all of us. It has to do with our circle of influence. And there are different levels of influence that we all have as people that we have this thing. And it is a life and death issue. We are dealing with a living God and his living word. And Jesus said that there will be times like Noah's that he will come again. Now, the difference is the second time he comes, it will be a baptism by fire instead of baptizing the world with water. You want to have an ark ready when the day comes, an ark that will rise above the fire of God's wrath, just as Noah's ark rose above the waters of God's wrath. Today, I want to look at the times of Noah. First here in Matthew, Jesus' words, and then in Genesis. In verse 38 of this passage in Matthew, it says, "For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and they did not know until the flood came and swept them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man." Jesus gives us references here. Eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. Now, there's nothing fundamentally wrong with those things. Those four verbs don't say anything bad. Now, one thing that is present here in the verb for eating, though, I will point it out, it's kind of a munching kind of thing. It's kind of like a casual party kind of thinking. One of the things that I see these days, there is a casualness in commitments and relationships, especially in marrying and giving in marriage. It's a passing kind of thing. People don't get married much these days in covenant with God. And commitment is part of that problem. There is a casualness about commitment. I was watching The Gospel According to talk shows. You've seen that, haven't you? There was this couple who had just gotten married, and they were asking about them about the durability of their relationship, and they said that they hoped it would last, but they weren't terribly concerned about it, but at least their wedding party was something to behold, and they would be talked about for a long time. So the party was good. The gospel according to talk shows. Is one of no real commitment, but involvement. It's kind of like when you eat bacon and eggs. The chickens are involved, but the pig's committed. Think about it. We have this mental image of pursuit for entertainment, pleasure for its own sake. It even creeps over into the church. Some people come to church to be entertained, and if they aren't, they don't come. You know, this message really is kind of sobering and demanding of you, and I'm not really bringing it to entertain you. It's to help you live in these days. And I'm not bringing it in for entertainment. It's a call for personal living, doing the task that God calls you to do if you are one of his people. A sign of the times was casual living. And it's a sign of our times as well. As in the days of Noah, so are the days of our lives. There's another group that is mentioned here that Jesus talks about. It's not just people out there for kicks and entertainment and casual commitments. Those people preoccupied with the fun and games, you might say, but there's a second category of people that's here. They're preoccupied with employment and ambition and business and money, the stock market, their personal achievement. And Jesus talks about the people out in the fields and those who keep their noses to the grindstone, so to speak. Anybody here keep your nose to the grindstone? And it may be grinding on you too, but Jesus talks about some very pragmatic, practical people as well. They have material interests, and they have what happens is they have lost their spiritual sensitivity and their spiritual nature. And that's the reason they aren't ready at the coming of the flood or the coming of Jesus in this case. You know, everybody isn't out there playing party games. Some people are out there working really hard in the fields of business, in the mill with their noses to the grindstone. They are busy pursuing their jobs. Maybe it's school. Maybe it's their businesses. They are productive people with aspirations and ambitions in life for climbing corporate ladders or pursuing their careers. And if there's anyone here like that, God bless you, but don't let the pursuits of this life blind you to the spiritual nature of your life and your relationship with God through Jesus. Live life preparing for the coming of the Lord. Now, in this scripture, Jesus didn't say a great deal about the actual days of Noah. The reason he didn't say more was because there wasn't a person who was listening to him who didn't already know the story and where to find it. So let's look there now in Genesis chapter 6. Let's look at the days of Noah, because that's what Jesus said, as in the days of Noah. Genesis 6, 5 and following, and I have it printed 5 through 8 and then 11 through 14. Let's just read them straight through. Here we go. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the ground, man and beast and creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence, and God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make yourself an ark. Now, if you look at this scripture, in verse 5, there are two things that are mentioned about the times of Noah: wickedness and evil imaginations and thoughts. There was a constant pollution of people. But I tell you the truth, if we compare Noah's times to our times, I think we would win the race for wickedness and evil thinking. You know, we have constant pollution. It is hard to keep our minds out of the gutters of this world and clear of all the clutter and the noise of this world. It's everywhere. All you have to do is turn on the TV, pick up a magazine, read a newspaper, or just get your iPhone out and go perusing. It's everywhere. Now, I'm no prude, but by any means, it doesn't take a long time to watch things on TV or in the movies to begin to have your thoughts and your imaginations to become degraded. We become jaded and numbed. It's a sign of the times. It's like boiling frogs. How do you boil frogs? Very slowly. You just raise that temperature. And when they did start to boil, they don't even know it's happening to them until the day or the moment. You know, if you try to live a life in God's grace and be obedient to His will for your life, you will recognize the struggle right now. We wrestle with it all the time, every last one of us. And those people who do not know Jesus as Savior, who have no quest for holy values in terms of their life, who do not know God, are constantly bombarded by this stuff all the time. And they give into it and they are easily twisted because they really don't have any fundamental ground to judge their actions and thoughts and their words. And so the people of the world begin to think that this is the way things are in terms of the way things should be, as in the days of Noah. Wickedness of man is great, and evil thinking is continually before us. If you look at verse 11 here, you have two more signs of the times of Noah. It says, now the earth was corrupt in God's sight. That is a basic breakdown in morality and obedience to God's law. And the earth was filled with violence. Do you know that the last 100 years is the most violent century in the history of the world by any standards? So we're talking about Noah's time. So we have in Noah's times as well as our times, wickedness and evil thinking and moral corruption and violence. In the 24th chapter of Matthew here, from which we read, Jesus says that even the very chosen of God, those who have been born again, followers of Jesus, alive in Christ, we become vulnerable to deep deception. Because of demonic confusion, we get lulled into a spiritual stupor. We lose our spiritual sensitivity because of the constant barrage of things at us. Like television, movies, magazines, the iPads, the iPhones, and all this stuff. And it's coming at us all the time, and it is the false prophets of the day. It's all around us. Advertisements, commercials. And what it does, it produces an erosion of basic values and principles. And we live in these kinds of times. And even if you got your feet on the ground, I tell you what, it begins to soak you. Now, we're called as God's people to invade the world as and fight against this erosion, but in the midst of that, our struggle against it, there is also a sense in which we need to build an ark. One of the things that I know is Noah was not going to stop the flood. Have you ever tried to go up on a railroad track and trip a train? It's not a very easy thing to do. Or blow out a flare. You can't get it done. So you have to be prepared. And what we do, and what I think we do as a church, we work on saving people, and we build a safe haven, an ark for the day where you can get at least a little bit of the basic foundational stuff. But we live in a society that is filled with deception and confusion and instant gratification. We have a breakdown of our relationship with God as a society and as a world. We have an erosion of life and relationship values. We have pulled the plug, so to speak, on this ship of life, and the world is sinking. There is a hedonistic pursuit of fun for its own sake. There's no demand for commitment in relationships anymore. It's just about parties. But life is a lot more than just parties. There's a breakdown in covenants and commitments to be a friend no matter what, to work at a marriage as a covenant, not only with a person, but with God involved in that marriage. It will cost you your life. You know, serving Jesus is a covenant that we make as Christians in our baptism. It will cost you your life. It is powerful for redemption if we keep our commitments. In Genesis 6, verse 5, it says, "The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great." There is something about the word wicked. It usually conjures up a picture of a witch. The wicked witch of where? The West. Or whatever direction you want to go. But the word wicked has lost most of its true meaning to us. Now, the easiest way I can describe the word wicked to you is to use the word wicker, which is the word we use to describe a type of furniture, wicker. I have one up here. This is a wicker furniture. It's a wicker chair. This chair is made of strands of like some kind of straw or something, and it has been taken, and those things were, it was soaked in water, all these strands were, so that they get malleable and they're soft. So you can shape them and you can twist them into any shape you want to make it. You can make a shape of furniture that you want, and it's lightweight in nature. But, you know, they twisted this stuff around to form a chair, and then they put a few little things in it to hold it together. Now, you either like wicker furniture or you don't, but the idea of wicker illustrates the concept of wickedness. A wicked person is derived from this idea of wicker, a twistedness. What happens to a person or a culture is that we become so steeped and soaked so long that we are made soft in our values and principles so that it is easy to twist us and get us into the shape that society wants us. You know, it's an ability to take and twist society or a people or a person like you or me. And you can shape them into anything you want. Any shape is okay. Philosophically, it's called relativism. Morally, it's called hedonism. Theologically, it's called agnosticism. You make whatever you want. It goes something like this. You know, there may be a God and maybe there isn't. I really don't care, so I'll do what I want. That's agnosticism. Relativism goes like this. You know, if it feels good, do it. If it works, that's fine. And then there's hedonism, which sounds like this. I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it. And you can twist it any way you want in order to do what you want. Wicker. Wicked. As in the days of Noah, so are the days of our lives. We are a wicker society. Twisted. It also says in verse 11 here in Genesis, that violence filled the earth. In verse 13, it says that the earth is filled with violence through them. Who are they? Well, they are the wicked people because of their wicker culture, their wicker thinking, their twisted morals. There was violence in the earth through them. Now, we live in violent times. And I dare say our days make Noah's days look like child's play. The earth is filled with violence. You know, at Christmas we celebrate, we sing about peace on earth. But our world is filled with violence. We see it on TV all the time. Vicious and violent events take place. They take place in our country, in our world around us. You know, we had 9/11, which was a killer for us, but, you know, they happened in Iraq. These bombings take place every day. Iraq, Afghanistan. Then you have people on an individual basis who kill other people. You know, we see assassinations, or we see things happening in our post offices and fast food places and Columbine High School and colleges and even movie theaters. Must have gotten mad at the movie or something. And I dare say it, we have wicker trials. A lot of our trials even end up being twisted. We've been shocked by the dimensions of violence from individuals to genocide in Africa, and we read about it, we see it on TV, people being shot to death for absolutely no reason. We hear about it, we read about it, and all it is, it's a reflection of our times. And we're looking in a mirror that has inscribed on the top of it, as in the days of Noah. And it's in times like these that we better pay attention, because it's a life and death issue, because just like the days of Noah shall be the coming of the Son of Man. That's a life and death issue. I want you to ponder what you live in this week and how this stuff all affects you and how we live in this twisted world and deceived and the corruption and the violence that's all around it. And because that's where we have to build an ark to save our own household. And I'm going to look at the task of Noah as well as the times of Noah next week. And I'll just leave you with a picture that of the times we live in. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you just take the words that I speak and give it enlightenment for us, so that we understand where we are in our lives and where we are in this time in our lives. In Jesus' name.